Welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. It's very easy for you to submit questions for this monthly session. All you need to do is go to the Advisor Pact monthly site, click on the Contact Us link, which is on every page of the site, and just submit your question to us. We will select each month among the questions to determine. I'll decide which questions are the greatest benefit to everyone in the program. And we'll go through it. This is your chance to interact with me. If you have a question during today's session, just look at your GoToWebinar panel and submit your question there. I'll try to keep up with the questions here. If a question comes in over the transom during our session, I'll try to deal with it before we get off today. I selected one question that I thought was the best question that came in this month because I thought we would invest our entire time together going through this one issue. So it's a very relevant question to everyone, and it's a little bit involved. So let's spend the entire session going through this. Question comes from a trusted advisor. I'm expecting a lot from my administrative manager and my subject matter experts. How do you recommend I measure their performance? Well, this is a great question, and this is one that is critical if you are implementing the model the way that we recommend it. In our model, every member of your team is selected in part because of their willingness to continually improve. It's the process of mastery. No matter how skilled, no matter how experienced the members of your team are, one of the important measures of any member of your team is their willingness to improve. And not just improve to a point, but lifelong improvement. That it's that commitment to continual improvement that is a leading indicator of mastery. So, in order to review the performance of your administrative managers, of your administrative manager and your subject matter experts, we have a specific conversation that we recommend that you conduct. It's called the expectations conversation. And we recommend that you have this expectation conversation with every direct report. And the people that directly report to you in our model are your administrative manager and each of your subject matter experts. So the subject matter experts that we're talking about are your primary oversight subject matter experts. That would be your financial planning subject matter expert, your money management subject matter expert, your estate planning subject matter expert, your insurance subject matter expert, and your tax subject matter expert. So we recommend that you conduct this expectations conversation with your administrative manager and your five subject matter experts at least once every 4 months. That would be 3 times per year. And we recommend that you schedule these expectations conversations a year out so that you've always got the next 3 expectations conversations on your calendar. And so do they. As with all meetings, record this meeting. As a matter of fact, we recommend that you record everything for training purposes. You don't have to keep the recordings very long. In-house, we keep our recordings with clients and prospective clients and internal staff meetings like this one. We keep those meetings for 3 to 6 months. It depends on how important the meeting is. We reduce every meeting to an interaction log, which is a specific format that we use and we suggest that you use for documenting any interaction. And so once the interaction log is created, we might maintain the recording for another month or two just in case. But once the meeting is reduced to writing, that's our primary objective, is get the meeting documented using the interaction log. Now, one of the keys to having a successful review with your people We call this the expectations conversation. What's important is for you to prepare before every one of these meetings. Don't think you can walk into an expectations conversation and wing it. If you want to have an effective expectations conversation where the value that's being delivered to your clients is actually increasing continually, so that you're moving towards the objective of having, well, having your clients take over your marketing for you, then you need to prepare for these expectations conversations. And that is the goal. The goal of implementing all of this is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services at such an extraordinary level that your ideal clients would not allow anyone that they know or love or care about to talk to anyone about their money but you. And so this puts a huge demand on your team. It puts a huge demand on your subject matter experts, puts a huge demand on your administrative manager to rise to that level, to be so good and so remarkable that your clients can't help but remark about your team to others that they meet. So it's critical that you come prepared to this expectations conversation. And what I'm going to recommend you prepare with is the file that you have on this person that you're about to have the expectations conversation with. Now, it might sound a little bit daunting. You're keeping a file on the person. Well, that's the only way it really works well. You've got to maintain a file on each one of your direct reports. A file that documents things, well, that documents everything that they've done extraordinarily well since the last meeting. It's almost like a journal that you maintain, and it's a habit that you have to get into and keep up with well. And so anytime you catch anybody doing something right on your team, something that impresses you or something that you notice impresses the client, then go to the person's file and make a note. It's important in these expectations conversations that you talk about things that you've noticed that this individual has done extraordinarily well since the last time you've had an expectations conversation. Unfortunately, the other thing that goes in the file is anything that has not gone well since the last meeting. So if there are deficiencies, if there are problems with this individual, if there's anything that you have noticed or your administrative manager has noticed since the last expectations meeting, this is the time to address it. It's so much better to address issues that you've got with an individual in a one-on-one setting as opposed to bringing things up in a group meeting, such as the dry run prep meeting, when you actually probably notice the thing that needs to be addressed. Now, I mentioned your administrative manager. It's important that your administrative manager maintain this file. We always recommend that it's your administrative manager that actually keeps this file on the individual, but it's got to be in an accessible place so that as you notice things that go well or things that do not go well, the file is in an accessible place for you to make notes for yourself. And it's this file that you sit down and begin preparing for the expectations conversation, because the objective of this expectations conversation, which is a time when you sit down and set your expectations upon this individual, and this individual walks out of the meeting clear, crystal clear on what's expected of them. It's in this meeting that you want the individual to walk out of the meeting with an overwhelming sense that they understand exactly what they need to do to make progress, to become a better team member, and to deliver more value to your ideal clients. So, the other thing you need to do to prepare prior to every expectations conversation is for you as a trusted advisor to complete the key performance measures form, we call it the KPMs, to complete that in advance. Now, once you've completed the key performance measure the first time, then the process is you update the key performance measures. In other words, I'm going to walk through, that's what we're going to spend the majority of our time doing today, is walking through these key performance measures and how that works. But the point here is that it's important that you sit down and if it's the first time, you complete the key performance measures in all the specific areas for this individual. Or if you've had an expectations conversation meeting with this individual before, then you need to sit down in advance in your preparation meeting and you need to update the key performance measures. In other words, in each category, has this individual advanced, made progress, or has in each individual area, has this individual moved the opposite direction and maybe lost some of their capabilities in the way that you measured them the previous time. So it's important that you complete or update the key performance measures form in advance. By the same token, and this involves your administrative manager, is to make sure that they are aware that they are to also complete or update the key performance measures in advance. So you're both going to come to the meeting having, if it's the first time, having completed the key performance measures, so you can discuss how their responses versus your responses. Or if it's an update, they need to have updated it in advance. So when you get together, you get to see if you agree that they have or have not made progress in each of these individual areas. So the point here is that you need to prepare prior to each of these expectations conversations. And each of you needs to complete the key performance measures in advance of the meeting. Now, I recommend that you open every single expectations conversation with a confirmation of the implementation objective. And this is so that you're all on the same page. And it's the same every single time. So the implementation objective, the way we share it with our team and the way we recommend you share it with your team, is to make sure that they understand what we're trying to accomplish here together. Is we are attempting to deliver an extraordinary experience to each and every ideal client. The project, in other words, we're all working together on a project here. The project is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to each ideal client through a skilled deliverables team of subject matter experts in such a way that we are indispensable from our client's perspective. Not we think we're indispensable to our clients in our opinion, but we are indispensable from the perspective of the client. So that is the implementation objective. That these are the things that we are trying to do together as a team. And I recommend that you open the meeting every single time with this same implementation objective. And it's a good thing also to open the meeting after reviewing and confirming this, to just let the other individual talk for a minute. Let the other individual, so ask them, so how is this going? What progress do you think we've made in this with this implementation objective as a team since the last time we spoke? It's important in the context of this meeting, not just to talk about your expectations of them individually, but it's also important for them to talk about their opinions of the team. So it's at this point when you can actually get them to review the rest of the team, have them talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the team in the context of this implementation objective, and let them talk about each member of the team if they want to, single out team members about things they think that are important to this implementation objective, and which team members, in their opinion, feel which team members they feel need to actually improve in order to be more in alignment with this implementation objective, or if they, heaven forbid, if they think a team member is actually a part of the problem in preventing or slowing down the implementation objective, then this is the time to get that also out of out of the individual while you're in this one-on-one session. In addition to that, you want to also get their expectations of you. Now, that'll come as during the meeting unfolds, but it's important that before you close the meeting, you make sure that you've gotten all three of those perspectives. You've gotten their perspective of the entire team, especially as it relates to this implementation objective, that you've shared your expectations of them, and that will be when we go through the key performance measures here in a minute, and that they have been given an opportunity and been asked specifically to state their expectations of you. So if they need certain conditions or if they need certain things in order to deliver on your expectations, then you need to be certain that you've given them an opportunity to share what those things are. So let's just point out, and you'll see this more clearly when we go through the key performance measures here in a minute, but as you fill out the key performance measure scores in each individual area, what you'll notice is your scores, well, let's just set the expectation up front. Your scores are going to be different from theirs. Now, it may be occasionally that you've scored in a specific area the same score, you and the individual, but usually it'll be different. So if it's the same, you still have the same discussion, but in most cases, your score will be different from their score in each individual area. Now, the majority of the time during this expectations conversation will be invested discussing, first of all, why their score is different from yours. They're scoring one way, you're coming up with a different score, let's say. And so there'll be a brief conversation about you eliciting from them, so why did you score this area in the way that you did? It's important that you ask them, why do you think your score is different from my score? What do you think I'm looking at differently than you? Or is this a surprise to you, this difference between our scores? Now, you may score them higher than they score themselves, in which case you may be identifying a confidence issue or problem on their part, which you need to encourage and reinforce. Or in some cases, you may rate them in a certain area with a lower score than they have rated themselves. And this is where you're maintaining a file and having specifics will come in handy. It's critical when you have a lower score than they do that you clearly explain why you are scoring them differently. And, it's conceivable that they could make the case to you that you've scored them improperly. Maybe there are things you're unaware of. Maybe they have accomplished things that you did not realize. Whatever the case, they may convince you that you have underscored them in that area. But just as often, it's a difference of opinion. You have a different perspective, and you may be rating them higher or lower than they rate themselves for very valid reasons in your mind. But what I'm saying is it's critical that it be dispassionate. It's critical that your difference in scores be something objective and something that tells them that you're on their side and that you want them to succeed, and nobody wants them to make progress more than you. They have to come away from this meeting feeling that you want the best for them and that you want them on the team and that you're convinced that they've got it in them to do what it is that you're expecting. And the more specific you can be when your score is different from theirs, the more valuable the conversation. You don't want the individual to walk away feeling beaten up. And so if you've scored them lower than they scored themselves and you don't have a very good reason other than, well, it's just my opinion, then that's not good. You need to explain your score being different from theirs in as specific terms as you can. And you'll also be discussing in the meeting their plan to advance their score in each individual area over the next 4 months. It'll become much clearer when I show you the key performance measures, but what you're really trying to do in each of these areas is not to get them to perfection in each area, but to measure progress in each area. So you'll see how easy that is when we review the key performance measures form. And then the other thing you'll be discussing during the expectations conversation is how they feel the team and they themselves are going to be able to increase the value that's being provided to ideal clients over the next 4 months. It's really important that they understand the way that you view this. And I recommend that the way that you view this whole thing is from the client's perspective and from the client's viewing the team as indispensable. I can tell you with authority that clients that view you as and your team as being indispensable to them, that is the level of implementation that will encourage, that will make clients want to introduce you to everyone that they know. And so if the real measure for how well your team is doing is the number of referrals you're receiving. Your team needs to understand this, that that's how you're measuring their value in part. Obviously, the quantity and the quality of their recommendations and the quality of the work, you'll see in a minute exactly what we're measuring. That's critical, of course. You want exceptional people on your team doing exceptional work. But what I'm saying is you'll know it's exceptional from the client's perspective when the client introduces you to everyone that they know. So if your team is as good as they think they are, then your rates of referrals should be increasing. In other words, the number of referrals that you're receiving should be steady and should be increasing. Your referrals should never be stalling out. Your referrals should never be on the decline in terms of the rate that you're receiving them. That if your team is continually improving and providing enough value to the clients, then your clients will reward you by introducing you to people that they know. And your team, this is often at times a shock to administrative managers and subject matter experts. They're thinking, what on earth do I have to do with referral rates into the firm? And this is your opportunity to say, a client that is thrilled introduces us to people that they know. And if we're not increasing steady streams of referrals, if we're not receiving steady streams of referrals, and if we're not receiving increasing rates of referrals, then our team needs to continue improving the value they're providing to clients until we get there. We'll know that we're performing at the level we need to when we start to see a steady stream of referrals. And we will not cease to increase value that we're providing to clients until we start seeing steady streams of referrals and increasing rates of referrals. So let's hop over now and let's review the key performance measures, which we call the KPMs. I'm going to start with the subject matter expert key performance measures. As my staff says, let me bigger this. Okay, so your key performance measures are shown on a form. And let me just kind of walk through it. The form, this first one that we're going to go through are the key performance measures for a subject matter expert. And the key performance measures are broken out into various specific areas. I'll let you see the whole form. As you can see, it just goes on and on and on here. It goes 8 pages. And I was going to just briefly walk through each of the areas that you need, that I think are important to measure your subject matter expert's performance. And this is, again, where you are going to share your score, your feeling about their performance in each of these areas, and they're going to share back with you what they've prepared in advance as to what they feel are the scores for each of these areas. Now, at the top of each key performance measures form, you need to state the name of this deliverables team member, who completed this expectations conversation, it's going to be your name and the date that you conducted this expectations conversation. You'll need to maintain a file of these. Over time, your file on this individual will have this form for each and every time you've sat down and updated this, had this expectations conversation. Again, that should be every 4 months, at least once every 4 months. And so there should be three of these forms in the file for each and every year that this subject matter expert has been with you. Okay. So let me just start with the first area. And let me first tell you the format here. So you've often been asked questions about how you feel about something on a scale of 1 to 10. That's very common. And this is similar to that. It's just that in each of the areas on your key performance measures, we're going to rate this individual not on a scale of 1 to 10, but on a scale of minus 10 to plus 10. So if they're doing a very exceptional job in this area, you're going to rate them a plus 10. And if they're doing a horrible job in this area, you're going to rate them a minus 10, with zero being neutral. Now, the key to this and what makes it, I talked earlier about how the more specific you can make your comments as to why you gave a certain score in a specific area, the better, the more relevant for them, the more valuable the conversation for them. So the key to your key performance measures is that you give words to these scores. So if you'll notice here, I've taken not every score, but five of the scores have words that are put to them. So in this area, we're talking about dry run prep meeting preparedness. Now, the dry run prep meeting is the internal meeting conducted. It's a brief internal meeting conducted about a week. It's 7 to 10 days before the actual client meeting. So that's the dry run prep meeting. You can call it a dress rehearsal. It's a meeting that's 20 to 30 minutes long that walks through the essential elements of what the meeting's going to be about a week from now. So we want your subject matter experts, it's an expectation of your subject matter experts, that they come to every dry run prep meeting fully prepared. And this is beyond turning things in on time. That's a different area that we're going to measure here in a minute. We're talking about when they actually show up at the dry run prep meeting, how prepared are they? And one of the things that we ask subject matter experts to do is to review all the recommendations of the other subject matter experts before every dry run prep meeting. So it's not only their responsibility to turn in all their own work before the dry run prep meeting, but it's also an expectation that they have also fully reviewed all the submissions and the work products of all the other subject matter experts so they can show up in this meeting and ask questions. And that's their job. You'll see that as another measure here in a minute. But all I'm trying to say here is that as you give a score to this individual, let's say you rate this particular hypothetical subject matter expert as a plus 7. Okay? So you kind of use the words here to decide how you arrived at that plus 7. So a plus 10 would be described this way. You always show full mastery of all details, documents, and information related to every ideal client at the dry run prep meeting. Your preparedness is always obvious to everyone present. You always submit your action items and your recommendations prior to the deadline. And you always submit an updated document for each deliverables checkpoint prior to the meeting. Okay? So that's a plus 10. A minus 10 would be you never display full mastery. Your preparedness is never apparent to those present. You never submit action items before the deadline. So that's a minus 10. Neutral being you sometimes show full mastery. You sometimes come prepared to the meeting. You sometimes submit your action items and recommendations before the deadline. So if you're coming up with a plus 7, then you notice how a plus 5 is you usually show full mastery of all details and documents. You're usually, your preparedness is usually obvious to everyone present. And you feel that their current state on this particular area is somewhere between a plus 5 and a plus 10. So you give them a plus 7. And that's what you would mark if that's how you feel in this area. All you need to do in your little prep meeting is come prepared with how you honed in to that plus 7. In other words, what was it that you saw since the last expectations meeting that led you to believe that this individual should be ranked as a plus 7 in this particular area? Now, as I said, it's likely, it's oftentimes that they will come up with a different score. They might rank themselves higher. They may rank themselves lower. But always use that as an opportunity for a brief, and I say very brief. Don't get hung up on, don't get caught up in long, protracted conversations in any particular area. Your job is to talk about this area and move on. So, but my point is, if they have a different score than you do, you start off by saying, how did you come up with that score? You share your score with them. If it's different, then you ask them how they feel you came up with a different score. What in their mind, what are they thinking as to why perhaps you came up with the score you came up with versus the score that they came up with? And you're trying to see if they understand your perspective. If not, you need to be fully prepared to be specific and explain how you came up with your score, in this case, a hypothetical plus 7. Let's look at the next area of that we're measuring. It's quality and thoroughness of work. A plus 10 might be the quality and quantity of your work is always improving. A minus 10 is the quality and quantity of your work is never improving. And neutral, meaning if you were to rank them a 0, they're you know, this is just right in the middle. You put words to that say the quality and quantity of your work is sometimes improving. Just below that, a minus 5 versus a minus 10 would be the quality and quantity of your work seldom improves, or a plus 5 would be the quality and quantity of your work usually improves. Now, let me just pause and say that this form, this key performance measures form, should be in a Word document format. Now, I've come up with wording here that I think is relevant. These are the words that we use with our subject matter experts. And but my point is, you need to keep this in an editable Word document form, because you'll notice as you start keeping files on your subject matter experts and you start seeing excellence, you'll want to start building in the excellence that you see in your subject matter experts into this key performance measures form. In other words, let's say a 1 or 2 of your subject matter experts are just extraordinary, and you notice they are doing things that clients just comment about all the time and is just very impressive, and it's obvious. Well, you can use those examples to build out the words here. So how you define what is a plus 10 or a minus 10, what's neutral, what's a plus 5, what's a minus 5, and all these words are just simply helping you measure. We call it measuring the invisible. These are intangibles. You talk about the quality and thoroughness of work. Well, that can be a vague notion. If all you did was have a conversation about your opinion of the quality and thoroughness of their work, it could go on. And at the end of the day, you could have a different opinion than them. They could walk. The danger would be they could walk away thinking, well, the advisor just has a different opinion than me, and I'm not convinced. I think my opinion is better than theirs. And so they walk out of this meeting not in a good place. They're not agreeing with your opinion of them. But in this way, by having actual words that hone in on how you're defining excellence, what's a plus 10, how you're defining failure, a minus 10 in this area, and how you're describing ho-hum work, a zero, neutral, which is unacceptable. These are tools to measure what are in effect invisible elements. And so by putting words to these things, it allows you to hone in on where you feel this individual falls. First of all, are they above or below neutral? Anything below 10 is not acceptable in the long term. But the first step is to get above zero. So if an individual ranks, let's say in this area, a minus 2, so you're thinking, okay, in this individual, currently I rank the quality and the thoroughness of their work as a minus 2. Well, look at some of the words here. Errors or mistakes are sometimes found in your work. Errors or mistakes are often found in your work. You know, they're going to want to know and to see specifics. So, you know, this is where I say, keep a file on every individual. And what you're looking for, you cannot have mistakes. Mistakes are a disaster. You cannot have anybody on your team where carelessness or errors or mistakes are found. Even this in a plus 5, errors or mistakes are seldom found. That means they're sometimes found. So that's unacceptable. So these are simply words that help you hone in on what score you're giving them in this area. And then from there, you need to drill down finer and give more specifics. Now, the goal between meetings, because I said, you know, you want to know why they came up with their score, why they think, in their opinion, your score is different than how you came up with a different score, and you're going to clarify if they've got it right or not very quickly. But then you're not going to leave each area until you understand what are they going to do to make progress over the next 4 months. So you're going to be having the same meeting with them 4 months from now. And so let's say they're at a minus 2 in this area. Most times you're not expecting them in 4 months to go, you know, let's say from a minus 2 to a plus 10. I would say, however, in this particular area, quality and thoroughness of work, I would not put up with a minus 2 for long at all. I would not put up with a minus 2 for 4 months. They better get it up to the 7, 8, 9, 10 area range like immediately. As a matter of fact, if they're not pretty close to a 10, the minute you bring them onto your team, they probably don't belong to your team. So I may not be using the best area here to give my example. But the point is, they need to explain to you how they're going to move forward over the next 4 months. So you ask them, when we're sitting here 4 months from now and you've made progress in this area, what's your goal? What's your goal for how to rate this area next time? In other words, what score is it your goal to have? And what are you going to do to get there? You just want them, and you want to hear it, but you want to hear it. You want them to say it out loud. There's something very powerful about an individual laying out their plan to get from point A to point B, and make sure they're taking notes. You want to make sure that they are taking notes from this meeting. And of course, you're recording the meeting, and this will all go into an interaction log. So let's talk about the next area. Contributions during the dry run prep meeting. This is probably the one I should have used as an example. So plus 10 is you always actively contribute at every dry run prep meeting. You always collegially question. You always collegially question the recommendations of other subject matter experts in order to test the quality and strength of the recommendation. And you always play client advocate at every dry run prep meeting. You know, that's a plus 10. That's what we want every subject matter expert to do. Now, the quicker they can get there, the better. But let's say a minus 10 is you never contribute at dry run prep meetings. You never question the recommendations of others in order to test the quality of the recommendations. And you never play client advocate or devil's advocate, whatever you want to say, at the client at the dry run prep meeting. So let's say you rank this individual as a plus six in this area. Somewhere between you usually contribute actively, you usually collegially question the other subject matter experts about their recommendations, you usually play client advocate, somewhere between there and you always do these things. Okay? So, so you rank them as, let's say, a plus six at this expectations conversation. So as I was saying before, it'd be nice if between now and the next 4 months, they move from a plus six to a plus 10. That's great. But yeah, but what you have to demand is forward progress of some variety. And that would be for them to describe to you how at the next meeting, they are at the very least going to move from a plus six to a plus seven. That you're looking for advancement in each area. Pardon me. So it's important that they lay out their plan for you of how we're sitting here 4 months from now. They will be at the very least a plus seven in this hypothetical versus the six where they are now. Okay, the next area, team responsiveness. So now I'm going to kind of fly through these so you can get the sense of what's being measured, and then we'll move on to the administrative manager key performance measures, and then we'll be done for today. So team responsiveness, it's critical that your subject matter experts respond to each other in a timely manner. Otherwise, things break down, and frankly, in my opinion, my personal opinion, this is one of the... this is one of the key areas of whether an individual is or is not a good team player. Now, one of the things I say about skilled subject matter experts is we assume when you accept or invite a subject matter expert onto your team that they know what they're doing, that they're very good at what they do. That's actually not at question here. Let's stipulate that they're true professionals in that they know what they're doing in their narrow field of finance. What we don't know typically about a subject matter expert is about those things that they, frankly, have never been asked to do before. And primary among them is being a good team player. So somebody could be an excellent tax accountant or a superb estate planning lawyer or an extraordinary money manager. But you'll never know until they actually serve on the team whether they are actually capable of serving in a team environment and being a good team player and able to collaborate with others and play nice in the sandbox and so forth. Well, I think this is the canary in the coal mine, this responsiveness. You know, how responsive a subject matter expert is to the others on the team is a critical measurement. And look, it should be a gimme. You're always highly plus 10 would be you're always highly responsive to the members of our team. You always respond within 2 hours whenever possible and always within one business day. You know, that's a plus 10. We're looking for everyone to be a plus 10. A minus 10 is you're never highly responsive and you never respond within one business day. That's on a minus 10. So let's say the individual's a plus 8. You know, so what is their plan to get when we're sitting here 4 months from now to be at a plus 9, hypothetically? But, you know, this is one of the leading indicators of whether an individual is going to be a good team player or not, is how responsive they are to the others. Proactiveness. Now, this is one of the things that we expect from subject matter experts because this is one of the expectations of clients. We've learned over the years that what clients value about a team like ours is the fact that not only the fact that they exist as a team, which is unusual. Most financial advisors don't have a team. And also the fact that they collaborate with each other, which is a measure we'll come to here in a minute. But also that they're proactive. They stay ahead of issues. We call it an advisor pact, paying attention. You know, pact is an acronym, protection, attention, coordination, and transparency. paying attention means, you know, we're so proactive. Your subject matter experts are so proactive that they have a process for understanding when clients' circumstances have changed, or whether, you know, the markets or world events have changed sufficiently so that there needs to be a course correction made in order for the client to remain on track. So this requires the subject matter to be expert, to be every subject matter expert to be proactive. And one of the things is, in the three-meeting process, there's 16 weeks in between meetings. So we meet with clients every 4 months, and that's three times per year. Well, when you meet every 4 months, that's 16 weeks in between meetings. And so proactiveness means you always use, meaning the subject matter expert, a plus 10 would be you always use the 16 weeks in between client progress meetings to prepare. You never wait to the last minute. You always push the process so effectively, we never feel we're pulling you through any process. You always discover significant issues before others have even contemplated them. You always seem to be ahead of every relevant issue. You're never caught off guard, and so forth. So proactiveness. Mastery and discernment of clients' desires, perspectives, and aspirations. A plus 10 would be always clear about the issue, about issues from the client's perspective, and makes recommendations from the client's frame of reference. Always aware of client concerns, mindset, viewpoints, and frame of reference. This goes to their professionalism. And you can read the rest of this, but as I'm talking. But I'm just saying, it's one thing for a subject matter expert to know their field. It's another thing to have a professional process in place that that has them always questioning you and others on the team about the client's perspective. So it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to change their recommendation. You know, that's one thing about a professional, is they know the right recommendation. But a lot of it has to do at this level in how it's framed to the client, how it's explained to the client, and how, and to just as a gut check to make sure that every recommendation is not only the obvious best recommendation for this situation, but also just to circle back and make sure that you understand what the client's actually trying to accomplish, and that you're not making a recommendation ignorant of what the client's actually trying to achieve. This is an important one, the subject matter expert's own process. We have deliverables checkpoints. On the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we have the 143 deliverables checkpoints that your subject matter experts will complete for every ideal client each and every year. So your subject matter experts will cycle through those. But in the process to recruit subject matter experts, we make it clear to them in the deliverables team recruitment process that they are being selected in part because they are so skilled at what they do that their process is far more robust than ours. And so this is a measure. A plus 10 would be just an acknowledgement that their process is always more robust than the deliverables checkpoints, and that they're not just using the deliverables checkpoints as a crutch. And in some case, worst case scenario, I've seen subject matter experts actually use the deliverables checkpoints as their process. In other words, if it says review the client's life insurance at one of the meetings, then, you know, worst case scenario, an insurance subject matter expert doesn't review life insurance until that checkpoint comes up. That's the sign of a poor professional, at least not good enough to be on our team. So you want to make sure that every subject matter expert has a professional process in their narrow field of finance that is more robust than yours. Otherwise, why have them? Collaborates and interacts with the team. Always interacts with a plus 10, and this is what you expect. Each subject matter expert always interacts with other subject matter experts in between dry run prep meetings regarding ideal client issues, and always submits the interaction log to our administrative manager within 24 hours after every interaction. Okay, so what you expect is, well, this is what I was saying earlier. I mean, what radically differentiates you from other advisors, and clients recognize this, is not just the fact that you have a team, which is impressive, but it's the fact that your team talks to each other. You know, before you came along, if a client's tax expert ever spoke with the client's estate planning attorney, it typically would have been because the client asked them to call each other, not because they had a routine process to collaborate with each other. So one of the most valuable aspects of this business model that over time will impress clients to such an extent that they will mention it to other people is the fact that your team is talking to each other. So your expectation is that they interact with each other in between meetings, and the interaction log that it refers to here is simply asking the subject matter expert to take notes during these interactions and submit those notes to the administrative manager within 24 hours after every interaction. And those notes are formed in a format that we recommend called the interaction log. And without going into that, it's critical that for the team that these notes be in the same format every single time. In other words, people, all you have to do is look at somebody's meeting notes to realize that people take notes. Different people take different notes in different ways. And so what the interaction log is, it changes that. So all the meeting notes are always in the same format. So your eye jumps immediately to the places that you train yourself to look for in the meeting notes. For example, for me, I always jump in the interaction log to the next steps. I want to see what the agreed upon action items coming out of the interaction were. But in any event, every person's different, and submitting the interaction log is an expectation. Timeliness of work. Always submits work before the deadline without special reminders. That's the expectation. If it's anything less than that, you need to, as with all these areas, hear from the subject matter expert what their plan is to for the future, 4 months from now, to have made progress in this area. Oversight responsibilities. We talk about how your team is responsible for overseeing their narrow field of finance, tax, estate planning, money management, and that there is also an implementation subject matter expert in each narrow field. In other words, you've got your tax subject matter expert, and the client may have their own accountant who does their taxes. It's up to your tax subject matter expert, who is the one who helps create the client's comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, to make sure that all the recommendations in the area of tax that are oftentimes coming from the client's own accountant who's doing their taxes, all those recommendations are not only well aligned with the overarching plan, but have been provided oversight by your subject matter expert before the client's seen it. So a plus 10 would be your subject matter expert always provides proactive oversight for all implementation subject matter experts within this narrow field of finance. And your subject matter expert always connects with the implementation subject matter experts to approve their recommendations before it's ever seen by the client. So, and it's their job to keep us updated on who the implementation subject matter experts are. So, you know, a plus 10 would be always proactively submits updated contact information for the implementation subject matter experts within this narrow field of finance. In other words, who is the client's accountant? What's their contact information in case others on the team somehow in a bind need to get a hold of them? We need to have a record in our file of the client's implementation subject matter experts. And then the last two are client's perceived value. You want to rate each subject matter expert from your perspective of how the client views This area of finance, ideal client always views the value provided within this narrow field of finance as indispensable. The client always mentions you, this SME, in a positive way at progress meetings. Like, oh, these tax recommendations are amazing. Maybe it didn't come out just like that. But in any event, you note in the client's tone, impressiveness in this SME's area. And ideal clients always mention the value provided to you by this SME when referring a potential client. In other words, this area of finance is so impressive, they remark about it to others. And then on the minus 10, ideal clients never view the value provided within this narrow field of finance as indispensable. You need to be, and this is an awareness thing on your part, to keep an eye on clients and what it is that's impressing them. And so if a client is impressed with a certain area of finance and the way it's being handled, then note that in this subject matter expert's file. And then overall, how are they doing? The value, a plus 10 would be the value you provide to a client is always clear. Recommendations, action items, thoroughness, everything. Your skill as an A player in your field is always clear to the clients and to the rest of the team, and everybody on our team is always clear that your contribution is indispensable. That would be a plus 10. So that is those are the key performance measures for the subject matter experts. Now, I'm just going to fly through this because you'll see that they're very similar. I'm going to fly through the key performance measures for your administrative manager. So your administrative manager, I would contend, is really the most critical individual on your team. As project leader, making forward progress in implementing truly comprehensive financial services, it's critical that your administrative manager be an A player and be really up to the task. So the difference is you're holding your administrative manager in many of these cases accountable for the subject matter expert's performance. That's the main point that I wanted to make here. So when it came to the same some of these same areas, so we talk about dry run prep meeting preparedness, a plus 10 for your administrative manager is an acknowledgement that the subject matter experts always show up prepared to the dry run prep meeting. That when you come to a dry run prep meeting, subject matter experts' preparedness is always obvious to everyone present. So this is where you sit down with your administrative manager and you talk about the team as a whole. And you should be prepared by if there's any individual or individuals on the team that are pulling the score down, you need to point out your opinion as to what's pulling the score down. It may be that 4 out of the 5 subject matter experts are at a plus 10, but one of them is at a minus 3. And so, that's why, and that would be for them, their preparedness is seldom apparent. And so that makes the overall score, rather than a plus 10, a plus 4. And maybe it's just one team member. And it just basically, when they get to the point, your administrative manager gets to the point in this area, in this conversation about what's going to happen over the next 4 months, it could be they have to spell, it's their job, not yours, first of all. So it's not the purpose of this meeting for you to brainstorm ideas to help them do their job. I think that's the temptation of advisors, is to help your administrative manager. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And while there may be a place for that in other meetings and other venues, in this meeting, this is an accountability meeting where it's their job. And so resist the temptation to help them out. It's their job to come up with a plan of how 4 months from now, when you're sitting here, how the score for the entire team in terms of being prepared at the dry run prep meetings has made forward progress in the score. And in many cases, it may be that for the one subject matter expert in that hypothetical, that what's going to happen in the next 4 months, and probably immediately after this meeting, is that your administrative manager agrees to launch the deliverables team recruitment process to quietly begin the to begin interviewing candidates to potentially replace the subject matter expert if they are unable to improve. But the point I'm making here is that in many of these categories, it's the same category, but you're holding your administrative manager accountable for the entire team's performance. Same it goes here for quality and thoroughness of work. Notice it's the quality and quantity of the subject matter expert's work is always improving. You're holding your administrative manager accountable for the quality and quantity of the subject matter expert's work, including errors that that you encounter. You're holding your administrative manager accountable if ever you find errors in the work of the subject matter experts, because it's then your administrative manager's job over the next 4 months, if there are any problems that have presented themselves in that area, to fix the problem. It's not your job, it's their job. Now, of course, it's your business, so you may need to get involved at the end of the day, but I think the purpose of this meeting is let's see if your administrative manager's up to this, because it's their responsibility to fix these problems. Because your priorities lie elsewhere. Your priorities are to invest your time face-to-face and on the phone serving ideal clients, and investing your time face-to-face or on the phone going out into the world and finding new ideal clients. So that's why you've hired your administrative manager as the project leader here, is for them to step up and to ensure that the subject matter experts are performing at the proper level. So subject matter expert contributions during the dry run prep meeting. So you're holding your administrative manager accountable to whether or not subject matter experts are contributing during the dry run prep meeting. SMEs always actively contribute at every dry run prep meeting. And so this is the same as you're holding the individual SMEs. It's just responsible. It's just that you're holding your administrative manager responsible for the entire team in this area. Is it or is it not happening in for the whole team in that area? SME capability. All subject matter experts are always up to the task. And if not, you, meaning the administrative manager, you always proactively request permission to initiate the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process to begin replacing subject matter experts who are not up to the task. So you empower your administrative manager to notice when subject matter experts are not performing, and you give them permission to quietly begin seeking candidates to interview to replace subject matter experts that are just not working out. And that will always happen, unfortunately. Dry run prep meeting scheduling and promptness. Do dry run prep meetings start on time, and do they always occur within a week to 10 days before the client progress meeting? Team responsiveness. You're holding your administrative manager accountable to how responsive all your subject matter experts are. Subject matter experts' own process. You're holding your administrative manager accountable to all your subject matter experts as a team having processes that are more robust than ours, or than the toolkit's deliverables checkpoints. If not, then it's up to your administrative manager to hone in and identify the weak subject matter expert. And frankly, this is one of those areas, if a subject matter expert doesn't have a process more robust than ours for their narrow field of finance, it's almost never a situation that can be fixed. It's almost always a situation where we made a hiring mistake, and so they need to begin the process of quietly replacing that individual on the team. All subject matter experts collaborate and interact with the team. There are always several interaction logs linked to every online meeting plan. So what you're looking for as an advisor for every dry run prep meeting, there should be a lot of interaction logs where your subject matter experts have interacted with each other in between meetings. If that's not the case, that's a big problem. And you're holding your administrative manager accountable to making sure that your subject matter experts not only collaborate with each other in between meetings, but that they're submitting interaction logs, and those interaction logs are available to everyone on the team through the online meeting plan. Documenting processes. A plus 10 would be an administrative manager who always meets the weekly goal for documenting processes using the best way method that we teach. A minus 10 would be, I'm convinced you don't have any weekly goal for documenting processes using the best way method. You should always be approving new processes brought to you by your administrative manager that either they or some others on the team have created. Resourceful. Basically, this is a measure of resourcefulness, one of the key skills for your administrative manager. And there are several measures here that I won't go through here, but basically, do they look for unique solutions? What you're looking for here is, are they capable of making forward progress with the existing resources, or are you hearing a constant stream of complaints that they need better computers and better technology or better office supplies or whatever the case? What you're looking for here is, you're measuring your administrative manager and their ability to implement and make forward progress with the existing resources we have right now. No entitlement mentality. You'd almost hope not to have to put this on here, but let's put it this way. It's almost never a problem, but whenever it is a problem, it is a big problem and it needs to be identified. A plus would be, never thinks our firm, our team, or the world owes you something. You never look to others to do things for you rather than focusing on what you can do for yourself or the team. Versus a minus 10, you never think the firm, well, it's basically always thinks the world owes you something and always looking for others to do something for them. It's an entitlement mentality that you need to identify and get rid of if it exists. Proactiveness. This is your administrative manager's ability to push the process. In other words, are you always going to your administrative manager and helping them and pulling them through the process, like telling them here's what you need to do and giving them coaching and advice on how to do their job? Or are they resourceful? Are they pushing the process? Are they looking at the way this should be run, the way we teach it in the toolkit, if you're using the toolkit, or if you're basically for asking, you're implementing what we're teaching in our system? Are they, as an administrative manager, able to proactively push the process, and so that we don't feel that we're having to remind them and, oh, you forgot this or you forgot that, and you get the feeling that we're pulling them through the process? They have to know the ideal clients very well. They are always aware of client concerns and mindsets. They correctly grasp a client's motives. We want your administrative manager to be intimate with your ideal clients. They should be able to list your ideal clients without a list in front of them. I had 100 ideal clients back in the year 2002 and forward, and my administrative manager could list most, if not all, of those clients without a list in front of them. So I would recommend that you make this issue of knowing your clients well to be a measurable with your administrative manager. Leadership, this is a key skill for an administrative manager. They have to possess leadership to keep things moving forward, to be persuasive with others on the team, and to get things done through other people. A plus 10 would be, client progress meetings are always well prepared, even when our deliverables team members are uncooperative. In other words, subject matter experts can get things done even if the team is not being cooperative, and always able to coordinate people who don't want to be coordinated. So even if there is an individual who's being difficult on your team, your administrative manager always seems to provide the leadership necessary to get the job done. Collegial and collaborative, always blunt but never unpleasant, candid while at the same time cordial, likable, immensely likable by others. Always contacts other members of the team when there are crossover issues. Can't seem to get that highlighted. Between deliverables team members, always collegial with other team members. Anyway, collegial, and you need an administrative manager that's likable, but I like to call them the velvet crowbar. Somebody that always gets things done and can wield kind of a heavy-handed requirement on the team to get things done. In other words, shape up or ship out, able to have crucial confrontations when necessary with members of the team, but members of the team never feel like your administrative manager laid a glove on them. Your team always feels like they were dealt with fairly and by your administrative manager. In other words, you're measuring your administrative manager by the measure that, you know, are they the type of person that people want to do things for them? And so they do. Skilled administrator. I think we can all agree it's critical that your administrative manager be a skilled administrative manager. The client prep packets are always organized and complete. Files are always neat and organized. Ideal clients always have client progress meetings scheduled 12 months out. Highly skilled using the software that we use. Communication always takes call from other team members or calls back or calls people. This is the responsiveness. So highly responsive themselves personally. Client perceived value, again, like the SMEs, if clients, when they talk about you, your services to you, when they're kind of rating you on the value that they're receiving from you, how often does your administrative manager's activities come up in their comments? Does the client always comment positively about things that can be directly related back to your administrative manager? That's been my experience over the years. I talk about, as a matter of fact, that's the most commonly mentioned individual when we receive a referral. A client says, you know, I love referring you because I know how on top of it your team is, and I can always count on your administrative manager contacting me just when I'm about to forget doing something important. I can always count on your team to remind me about the important things that need to happen to move my plan forward. Etiquette and decorum. Because they're in your office typically and dealing directly with clients, you need to make sure that their etiquette, their manners, and all of that is up to standard. And you can't have a rough administrative manager that's a turnoff to your clients. So etiquette and decorum is a measurable for your administrative manager. Then you have the overall, you know, overall, how do I rate this administrative manager? The plus 10 would be the value you provide to clients is always clear. And so your administrative manager overall is outstanding. So that's the review of the key performance measures, and that's it for this month's monthly session. It was a great question, how to measure progress of your administrative manager and your subject matter experts. And until next month, we wish you all the best in implementing. I'm Mark Little.